Hello, this is your volunteer broadcaster, Cecilia, bringing you this week's Bedtime Stories program on Sun Sounds of Arizona. In today's program, we will read The Bad Seed, We Don't Eat Our Classmates, Stella Luna, and a poem from the Oxford Book of Poetry for Children. Let's get started with We Don't Eat Our Classmates, by Ryan T. Higgins. And there in the opening page, there's a little dinosaur. And it says, "Hey kids, you will never be eaten by a T-Rex. They are extinct, I promise." Penelope Rex was nervous. It's not every day a little T-Rex starts school. And there's Penelope, and she looks like she's shaking a little bit. And she has some pink outfit on with suspenders. And now she's in her bedroom practicing that she's at school, and she's got her little toy dinosaur sitting around a table, and Penelope's pretending she's the teacher and teaching the elephant. And her mom is looking into the bedroom, and her bedroom door has Penelope written over the door. "What are my classmates going to be like? Will they be nice? How many teeth will they have?" This was very important. Penelope's mom bought her a new backpack with ponies on it. Ponies were Penelope's favorite because ponies are delicious. Penelope's dad packed her a lunch of 300 tuna sandwiches and one apple juice. Finally, the big day came, and there's Penelope, and she's holding hands with her mother, and they're walking toward the school. And Penelope Rex was very surprised to find out that all her classmates were children. And there she is, sitting in the classroom. A little boy is greeting her, and all the other children are sitting around the table reading. And the teacher's at the front of the room reading. They're all smiling. So she ate them because children are delicious. "Penelope Rex," said Mrs. Noodleman, "we don't eat our classmates. Please spit them out at once." And there's Penelope, and she's got her cheeks all full of the children. So she did. It was not the best way to start school. Still, Penelope was determined to have a good first day. And there's, you see, all the children after she spit them out, and they're sitting in piles of saliva and spit, and the teacher standing with her arms crossed, and she doesn't look happy, and all the children are not happy with Penelope. She tried hard to make friends at recess. Oh, there's the children climbing up the slide, and Penelope's down at the bottom of the slide waiting to catch them, but she's waiting to catch them with her mouth open. She finger-painted some of her best work. Oh, the picture she drew is of a dinosaur eating a child, and some children are looking on, not very happy. She even saved Griffin Emery a seat at lunch. "You can sit here." And there she is, Penelope is eating all of her tuna sandwiches. Penelope started to notice everyone was making friends but her. And there she is, building blocks, sitting at school, but she's by herself. It was lonely, and all the children are playing, but she's by herself. When she got home, her dad asked about her first day of school. "I didn't make any friends," Penelope cried. "None of the children wanted to play with me. "Penelope Rex," her father asked, "did you eat your classmates?" "Well, maybe sort of just a little bit." "Sometimes it's hard to make friends," said her dad, "especially if you eat them. You see, Penelope, children are the same as us on the inside, just tastier." That gave Penelope a lot to think about. And there's Penelope lying in her bed with her stuffed dinosaur. But poor Penelope, she could not stop herself from eating her classmate. The next day, Penelope tried really hard. Mrs. Noodleman, Penelope ate William Amoto again. And there's Penelope sitting at a table and her mouth is full and there's a shoe hanging out of her mouth. And they were all afraid of her. And there's Penelope sitting at the table and the children are all running away from herself, from her. There's a little fish in a fishbowl sitting on the shelf and the fish is looking out at Penelope. Except Walter. Walter was a goldfish. So Penelope tried to make friends with him. Will you be my friend? And Penelope sticking her finger into the little fish bowl where Walter is. Chomp! Uh-oh. Walter is biting Penelope's finger. Eee! Cried Penelope. He's eating my finger. Wah! And there's Penelope, and she's got Walter hanging by her finger. Once Penelope found out what it was like to be someone's snack, she lost her appetite for children. And there's Penelope sitting at the table with the children, and all the children are sitting around happy, and the teacher's at the front of the room reading, and she's happy. And Penelope has a bandage around her finger. She stopped eating her classmates, even when Cece Woodman spilled barbecue sauce all over herself. And soon Penelope made friends. Found you, and there's Penelope, and she's hiding, and her friends are looking for her. Want a brownie? I helped make them, and Penelope brought some brownies to school. Now, even when children look especially delicious, she peeks at Walter and remembers what it's like when someone tries to eat you. And Walter, the goldfish, stares right back at her and licks his lips. And Penelope is saying, oh! Because dinosaurs are delicious. And there's Penelope walking away from Walter toward her friends who are the children at school. The end. Next, we'll read The Bad Seed by Jory John, illustrations by Pete Oswald. I'm a bad seed, a bad seed. And there we see the seed, and he's looking out at us, and he's got his eyes kind of mean looking. Oh yeah, it's true. The other seeds, they look at me and they say, that seed is so bad. When they think I'm not listening, they mumble, there goes a bad seed. And all the seeds of different shapes and colors are standing around and pointing toward the bad seed. But I can hear them. I have good hearing for a seed. How bad am I? You really want to know? And there's the seed, and he's sitting on a park bench by himself while all these seeds are looking on. Well, I never put things back where they belong. And there's the seed, and he was pushing a cart, and he doesn't put the cart back. I'm late for everything. And there he's going to work and his boss is pointing at the clock and he's late. I tell long jokes with no punchlines. And he's sitting at comedy night and he's trying to tell jokes, but everybody's falling asleep. I never wash my hands or my feet. I lie about pointless stuff. I cut in line every time. And there's a bunch of seeds waiting to go to the bathroom and in the outhouse, and there's the seed cutting in line. I stare at everybody. I glare at everybody. I finish everybody's sentences, and I never listen. And he's in the library, and it says, quiet, please, and he's in there playing the drums. And I do lots of other bad things, too. Know why? Because I'm a bad seed. A bad seed. I just can't help it. Sure, I wasn't always this bad. I was born a humble seed on a simple sunflower in an unremarkable field. And there we see a field of sunflowers, and there's one especially tall sticking out. I had a big family, seeds everywhere. We found ways of having fun. We were close. And there's the sunflower, and there's about 20 seeds inside of it, and they're all smiling, laughing, playing music, dancing. But then the petals dropped, and our flower drooped. Oh, all the seeds are falling out of the flower. It's kind of a blur. And you see the sunflower's seeds running on away, but there's a rake trying to scoop them up. And there's a bag of sunflower seeds. And it says, I remember a bag. Everything went dark. And there's the seed inside the bag that's dark. A giant. And there's a man at a baseball game watching the game, and he has a bag of sunflower seeds, and he's eating them, putting them into his mouth. I thought I was a goner. I thought I was done for. I screamed and hollered, ah, patoo. But I was spit out at the last possible second. I flew through the air and I landed under the bleachers with a huge thud. When I woke up, it was dark outside. A wad of gum had softened my fall. I felt okay, but something had changed in me. I'd become a different seed entirely. I'd become a bad seed. A bad seed. And there we see the seed again looking out, and he has a Band-Aid on his head. That's right. I stopped smiling. I kept to myself. I drifted. I was friend to nobody and bad to everybody. I was lost on purpose. I lived inside a soda can. I didn't care, and it suited me. Until recently, I've made a big decision. I've decided I don't want to be a bad seed anymore. I'm ready to be happy. And there we see the seed with the Band-Aid on its head, and he's looking in a piece of glass at himself, and he's smiling. It's hard to be good when you're so used to being bad. But I'm trying. I'm taking it one day at a time. Sure, I still forget to listen. And there we see the seed with headphones on, listening to music while someone's trying to talk to him. And I still show up late. And there he is, bringing some flowers to another seed who's sitting at a table waiting for him, and he's late. And I still talk during movies. And I do all kinds of other bad stuff. And there he is, sitting in the movie theater, listening or talking on the phone out loud while all the other seeds are sitting around trying to hear the movie, and they're eating popcorn and soda. But I also say thank you, and I say please, and I smile, and I hold doors open for people. Not always, but sometimes. And even though I still feel bad sometimes, I also feel kind of good. It's sort of a mix. All I can do is keep trying and keep thinking, maybe I'm not such a bad seed after all. And there's the seed looking out, smiling. Hey, look, there goes that bad seed. And there's some seeds pointing at the bad seed as he's walking down the road. And one of the seeds says, actually, he's not all that bad anymore. And the bad seed says, I heard that. The end. This is a reminder that you are listening to Bedtime Stories on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Next, we'll read Stella Luna by Janelle Cannon. In a warm and sultry forest far, far away, there once lived a mother fruit bat and her new baby. Oh, how Mother Bat loved her soft, tiny baby. I'll name you Stella Luna, she cried. Each night, Mother Bat would carry Stella Luna clutched to her breast as she flew out to search for food. One night, as Mother Bat followed the heavy scent of ripe fruit, an owl spied her. On silent wings, the powerful bird swooped down upon the bats. Dodging and shrieking, Mother Bat tried to escape, but the owl struck again and again, knocking Stella Luna into the air. Her baby wings were as limp and useless as wet paper. Down, down she went, faster and faster into the forest below. The dark, leafy tangle of branches caught Stella Luna as she fell. One twig was small enough for Stella Luna's tiny feet. Wrapping her wings around her, she clutched the thin branch, trembling with cold and fear. Mother, said Stella Luna, squeaked, where are you? By daybreak, the baby bat could hold on no longer. Down, down, again she dropped. Flump! Stella Luna landed headfirst in a soft, downy nest, startling the three baby birds who lived there. Stella Luna quickly clambered from the nest and hung out of sight below it. She listened to the babble of the three birds. What was that? Cried Flap. I don't know, but it's hanging by its feet, chirped Flitter. Shh, here comes Mama, hissed Pip. And there we see the three baby birds in the nest where Stella Luna had fallen. Many, many times that day, Mama Bird flew away, always returning with food for her babies. Stella Luna was terribly hungry, but not for the crawly things Mama Bird brought. Finally, though, the little bat could bear it no longer. She climbed into the nest, closed her eyes, and opened her mouth. Plop! In dropped a big green grasshopper. And here we see Stella Luna with her mouth open and Mama Bird is putting a grasshopper into its mouth. Stella Luna learned to be like the birds. She stayed awake all day and slept at night. She ate bugs even though they tasted awful. Her bat ways were quickly disappearing. Except for one thing. Stella Luna still liked to sleep, hanging by her feet. Once when Mama was away, the curious baby birds decided to try it too. When Mama Bird came home, she saw eight tiny feet gripping the edge of the nest. Eek, she cried, get back up here this instant. You're going to fall and break your necks. And there we see the birds, they're all hanging out of the nest by their feet, and Mama Bird's looking down at them. The birds clambered back into the nest, but Mama Bird stopped Stella Luna. You are teaching my children to do bad things. I will not let you back into this nest unless you promise to obey all the rules of this house. Stella Luna promised. She ate bugs without making faces. She slept in the nest at night, and she didn't hang by her feet. Stella Luna behaved as a good bird should. All the babies grew quickly. Soon the nest became crowded. Mama Bird told them it was time to learn to fly. One by one, Pip, Flitter, Flap, and Stella Luna jumped from the nest. Their wings worked. I'm just like them, thought Stella Luna. I can fly too. Pip, Flitter, and Flap landed gracefully on a branch. Stella Luna tried to do the same. How embarrassing! And there's Stella Luna, and she's hanging from the branch. She can't land on it gracefully. I will fly all day, Stella Luna told herself. Then no one will see how clumsy I am. And there she is standing on the branch. The next day, Pip, Flitter, Flap, and Stella Luna went flying far from home. They flew for hours, exercising their new wings. The sun is setting, warned Flitter. We had better go home or we will get lost in the dark, said Flap. But Stella Luna had flown far ahead and was nowhere to be seen. The three anxious birds went home without her. All alone, Stella Luna flew and flew until her wings ached and she dropped into a tree. I promise not to hang by my feet, Stella Luna sighed. So she hung by her thumbs and soon fell asleep. And there we see her hanging by her thumbs. She didn't hear the soft sound of wings coming near. Hey, a loud voice said, why are you hanging upside down? Stella Luna's eyes opened wide. She saw a most peculiar face. I'm not upside down. You are, Stella Luna said. Ah, but you're a bat. Bats hang by their feet. You are hanging by your thumbs. So that makes you upside down, the creature said. I'm a bat. I am hanging by my feet. That makes me right side up. Stella Luna was confused. Mama Bird told me I was upside down. She said I was wrong. Wrong for a bird, maybe, but not for a bat. More bats gathered around to see the strange young bat who behaved like a bird. Stella Luna told them her story. You ate bugs, stuttered one. You slept at night, gasped another. How very strange, they all murmured. Wait, wait, let me look at this child. A bat pushed through the crowd. An owl attacked you, she asked. Sniffing Stella Luna's fur, she whispered, you are Stella Luna. You are my baby. You escaped the owl, cried Stella Luna. You survived? Yes, said Mother Bat as she wrapped her wings around Stella Luna. Come with me and I'll show you where to find the most delicious fruit. You'll never have to eat another bug as long as you live. But it's nighttime, Stella Luna squeaked. We can't fly in the dark or we will crash into trees. We're bats, said Mother Bat. We can see in darkness. Come with us. Stella Luna was afraid, but she let go of the tree and dropped into the deep blue sky. Stella Luna could see. She felt as though rays of light shone from her eyes. She was able to see everything in her path. Soon the bats found a mango tree, and Stella Luna ate as much of the fruit as she could hold. I'll never eat another bug as long as I live, cheered Stella Luna as she stuffed herself full. I must tell Pip, Flitter, and Flap. The next day, Stella Luna went to visit the birds. Come with me and meet my bat family, said Stella Luna. Okay, let's go, agreed Pip. They hang by their feet and they fly at night and they eat the best food in the world, Stella Luna explained to the birds on the way. As the birds flew among the bats, Flap said, I feel upside down here. So the birds hung by their feet. Wait until dark, Stella Luna said excitedly. We will fly at night. When night came, Stella Luna flew away. Pip, Flitter, and Flap leapt from the tree to follow her. I can't see a thing, yelled Pip. Neither can I, howled Flitter. Aye, shrieked Flap. They're going to crash, gasped Stella Luna. I must rescue them. Stella Luna swooped about, grabbing her friends in the air. She lifted them to a tree, and the birds grasped a branch. Stella Luna hung from the limb above them. And there's Stella Luna holding on to the birds. We're safe, said Stella Luna. Then she sighed. I wish you could see in the dark, too. We wish we could land on your feet, Flitter replied, and Pip and Flap nodded. They perched in silence for a long time. How can we be so different and feel so much alike? Mused Flitter. And how can we feel so different and be so much alike? Wondered Pip. I think this is quite a mystery, Flap chirped. I agree, said Stauluna, but we're friends, and that's a fact. And there they are. Stauluna has them all wrapped in her wing as they're hanging from a branch. The end. Next, we'll read a poem from the Oxford Book of Poetry for Children by Edward Blishen. This poem is called The Cat. Within that porch across the way, I see two naked eyes this night. Two eyes that neither shut nor blink, searching my face with a green light. But cats to me are strange, so strange. I cannot sleep if one is near. And though I'm sure I see those eyes, I'm not so sure a body's there. By W. H. Davies. That's all we have for today. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona broadcaster, Cecilia. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more bedtime stories. Have a great week.